Let's continue reading Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 29. Now, in this section, we have the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the reluctant escape of Lot and his two daughters out of wicked Sodom. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Once again, now some background notes for this section of Genesis 19. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah may have been a natural catastrophe, but precisely timed by God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah as an act of divine judgment. You know, a number of miracles in the Bible are of this kind, natural events, but precisely timed by God himself. The natural event here may have been an earthquake along the geologic fault that runs the length of the Jordan Valley. In fact, this rift runs all the way down through the Red Sea and on down into Africa. It's one of the longest geologic faults on this earth. In any case, at the time of the earthquake, volcanic ash and combustible gases and other materials, including brimstone, which is sulfurous, may have been spewed up out of the rift into the air and ignited, maybe even by lightning. Then it was rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the other wicked cities of the plain. This is one possible scenario. Now, while Lot and his two daughters escaped the catastrophe, Lot's wife looked back and lingered and was turned into a pillar of salt, verse 26. She was probably thinking of her nice home and possessions, and she lingered, but she disobeyed, and she became a monument to disobedience. Now, what does this mean, that she became a pillar of salt? Not necessarily a figurine of sodium chloride or table salt. If she was inundated and buried by the materials falling from the sky, she would have become definitely a pillar of salt, maybe even petrified later, like the people of Pompeii after the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. There are salt deposits and asphalt deposits, combustible materials, in the area of the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah were located. Along the southern shores of the Dead Sea, there are great amounts of rock salt, even pillars of rock salt. There is even one pinnacle of rock known to locals as Lot's wife. Well, it's not Lot's wife, but you can understand how tourists are always taking pictures of this pinnacle of rock, taking it home and saying, "There's Lot's wife." Well, no. More we could say there. Have the ancient destroyed cities of Sodom and Gomorrah been found? Probably, but there's still some debate here. It used to be thought that they were buried under the southern end of the Dead Sea. But more recent archaeological work has been done and has just about confirmed that the location of Sodom and Gomorrah was on the southeast side of the Dead Sea. Now, what is this portion of Scripture teaching us? Doctrinal or teaching point number one, he who hesitates is lost. He who hesitates is lost. Now, that's not a verse in the Bible, but it captures a biblical truth. It's a common expression that we use for people who don't take advantage of opportunities that are given them, right? Well, we can certainly apply that statement to the matter of eternal salvation, can't we? The Bible teaches us that in order to avoid the judgment of God upon sin, we must repent of our sins and turn to Christ for salvation before it's too late. There's no other way of escape. John 14:6 says that no one comes to God but through the Lord Jesus. Acts 4:12 says that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, only through Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read there, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. No one is born a Christian. We're born under the wrath of God because of our sinful natures. We must become Christians, and he who hesitates is lost. Lot's wife is a biblical illustration of this truth. She hesitated and lingered and looked back, and she was lost in the judgment. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 32, remember Lot's wife. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is used throughout the Bible as an illustration of how the judgment of God against sin is sure and can come suddenly. Look at verse 23. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. It was early morning, another beautiful day in Sodom. No one expected the catastrophe that was about to take place. But then, verse 24, the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 15 says this about the unbeliever. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I urge you to receive Christ today, because he who hesitates is lost. You never know what a day will bring forth. You never know what day will be your last. And Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man to die once, and after this, the judgment. The unbeliever who hesitates is lost. You know, I think there's a lesson here for the believer as well. Lot was a believer, and he escaped the judgment, but he lost just about everything. Think of all the time and energy and material possessions that Lot had invested in Sodom. It all went up in smoke. Back in chapter 14, Lot had a golden opportunity to get out of Sodom when Abraham rescued him. But he hesitated there. He went back to Sodom. He was attached to Sodom. Even when he escaped Sodom, he hesitated to go to the mountains as the angels had directed him, and he continued his downward path. What an illustration of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Lot lost his life. He selfishly found his life, you see, in Sodom, but he lost his life as far as serving God goes. The same is true for believers today. He who hesitates is lost. Believer, are you hesitating as to your commitment, as to your dedication to the Lord? Remember, he who hesitates is lost. Doctrinal point number two, the prayers of the committed believer are effective. The prayers of the committed believer are effective. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. I think we see that biblical truth illustrated here in Genesis 19. Look at verses 15 and 16. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. Why was the Lord merciful to Lot? Why did the Lord send two angels to Sodom? Why did the Lord strike the men who had surrounded the house with blindness? Why did the angels drag reluctant Lot out of the city? Why? The key is in verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. The prayers of the committed believer are effective. Abraham, the committed believer here, had been praying for his nephew Lot. Not just the intercessory prayer of chapter 18, but probably every day Abraham prayed for Lot. The prayers of the committed believer are effective. Has God been merciful to you and spared you from self-destruction or some other calamity? Most likely, some committed Christians were praying for you. I'm convinced that the prayers of my godly grandfather have had an effect on my life. I used to hear my grandfather praying throughout the night sometimes. He'd be praying for hours out loud for many things, including me. I'm convinced those prayers of my godly grandfather have been effective in my life. The prayers of the committed believer are effective. One practical application. Let's not flirt with the world. Let's not flirt with the world. Sodom and the cities of the plain are a picture of the world under judgment. Even after Lot escaped from Sodom, he wanted to move into another city of the plain, Little Zoar. In verse 20, he says to the angels, "See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." By the way, compare this selfish prayer on the part of Lot to Abraham's prayers for Lot. What a difference, right? Lot wanted to continue to have one foot in this world. He's just like many Christians today. Not in Sodom, but in Zoar. Not 100% worldly, but not a fully committed Christian either. Just flirting with the world. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, that we were to be in the world, but not of the world. You see, Lot's problem was that he was not only in the world, he was of the world. He compromised with the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away." You really believe that? Why then do we flirt with the world? Oh, we're not in Sodom. We're in Zoar. Why don't we live like we believe? Let's not flirt with the world.